Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Vav. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Mafrishin Kayen Godol, Mibaiso, Lelishkas Parhedrin. We had learned at the opening Mishnah that a week before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Godol, who's going to officiate in the Beis HaMikdash, is separated from his wife and relocated to a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash known as Lelishkas Parhedrin. The Gemara asks, Loma Mafrishin. Why is there this separation? So the Gemara asks a question on the question in wonderment. Loma mafrishin? If you're asking why is there separation, kidekol aminon. We have a basis for this, either Rabbi Yochanan kidi islay, whether it be from Rabbi Yochanan who learned from the miluim. In other words, we saw a posuk quoted from the Torah, La'asois l'chaper, and l'chaper taught us that just like in the miluim, there was a separation period before the actual service started, so too with regard to Yom Kippur, there's a separation period before the actual Yom Kippur service starts. In the case of the miluim, that was the week leading up to the dedication of the Mishkan, where it was first put into operation. So too with regard to Yom Kippur, the week before, there is separation before the Yom Kippur service is performed by the Kohen Gadol. That's as far as Rabbi Yochanan e l'Reish Lakish k'di islay. Reish Lakish had his source for the idea of separation, and he learned it from Matan Torah, from the giving of the Torah, where Moshe Rabbeinu, after receiving the Ten Commandments, was set aside for practically a week until he then entered the divine sanctum for the receipt of the rest of the Torah. So the Gemara doesn't understand what the opening question was. Hochi ka'omar, rather, thusly we are to understand. Mi beso lama pirish. What is the necessity of having him separate from his wife? In other words, okay, we understand he has to be relocated to a special chamber waiting for Yom Kippur to set in. Why not have him together with his wife relocate? So the Gemara answers, Tanya, on the topic that we're dealing with right now, you can see on the side we have the topic heading Prishom Ishto. The focus here is not on the idea of the Kohen Gadol separating, being relocated and being somewhat isolated until Yom Kippur, but why specifically from his wife? So we have a Tanaic source, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Shemo Timtso Ishto Sofek Nida V'Yavoi Oleha. Now here we'll translate, and that will leave room then for the Gemara's question that follows. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says we want him to stay away from his wife for a week because there may be a situation where his wife is a Sufik, which means a doubt that maybe she is a menstruant woman, a nido, and of course, according to Torah law, a man is strictly forbidden to be in intimacy with his menstruant wife. So there may be a situation where she is a Sufik, there's a doubt, maybe she is a nido, viyavolo, and he will then have relations with her. The Gemara responds to this answer and says, how could that be? Otu birashi askinon. Are we talking here about wicked men? Meaning, if a man's wife is a suffix nida, of course he's going to stay away from her. You don't have to suspect that maybe he will have intimacy with a woman that has a suffix nida status. Elo shema, rather, what is our concern? Shema yovoi al ishto. We're afraid that if we don't separate him for a week from his wife, so that within that week, he might have normal, kosher relations with his wife, but in the right up in the midst of the relations, v'timtso sofek nida, and a situation will arise where maybe during those relations, all of a sudden, she becomes a possible nida with respect to the husband. The issue of suffek with regard to her husband involves a situation where right after they separate from their act of intimacy, she discovers a blood flow. And the issue is, was she experiencing that at the time of intimacy, literally? And that situation causes a suffek nida status to arise. And a man who has relations with a nida, he himself becomes tomei. If it's certain that she's a nida, for example, when they were together, he becomes tomei for 7 days. So we have to entertain the possibility that if she discovers to have a blood flow right after their intimacy, indicating that maybe at the time of intimacy this was taking place as well, that would impose upon the Kohen, in this case our Kohen Gadol, Tumah of 7 days. So we want to distance Yom Kippur more than 7 days from his most recent intimacy. Therefore we say, for a week you're going to be separate from your wife. Therefore, if in the worst case scenario, if the day before the separation set in, this really happened, that she became a suffek nida, so Erev Yom Kippur, he will already be able to be considered purified, tohar, having waited the required 7 days. Amua Rabbonan Kameda Rav Chisda. So this explanation was said to Rav Chisda, and he reacted, Kiman, Rabbi Akiva, let's say they said to Rav Chisda, the following suggestion was said to Rav Chisda, Keman, Rabbi Akiva, is this to be understood then in accordance with Rabbi Akiva? In other words, we had a source where we said the problem was he might have relations and she'll turn out to be a suffek nida, and then we separate the man from the wife for 7 days. So it would sound like this is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, di Omar, nida mitama es boyala, that the nida imposes tuma on the one that had relations with her, on the man that had relations, as we explained, di rabbonon. For if this source was in accordance with the Rabbonan, ha amri, but the Rabbonan say, ein nida mitama es ba'ala. The nida doesn't impose tuma on the one that had intimacy with her. So that the separation of the wife from the husband, or the husband from the wife, because of this nida consideration, would have no validity. Omar lehu Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda responds to them. And you can notice with the squiggle underline, first we introduced the Amrua Rabbonan, they said to Rav Chisda. Now we have Rav Chisda's response to them. He says, Afilu Temru Rabbonan, you can say that the source involving the separation based on Ishto Nida is in accordance with the Rabbonan as well. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbonan olei de Rabbi Akiva, as far as the machlokis alluded to before between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbonan, that's Elo. Be'acher acher, aval bechad acher modu lay. Now this line is dependent upon a fair amount of background that one can see in the Rashi, which is based on the Gemara in Maseches Nida. So the let's say, to present this in a somewhat superficial fashion, because there is quite a bit of detail involved in explaining this, there were two terms here. We saw acher acher, and then there's chad acher. The word acher has to do with immediately after the intimacy, which means the couple, let us say, had experienced intimacy. If immediately after the couple separates, the woman discovers on a white checking cloth, she experiences or she notices blood on this checking cloth where she checks herself in that region of her anatomy, and she notices immediately after they separate there's blood. So the assumption is made, according to all opinions, that the blood was present when the actual intimacy took place. That's called chad acher, level of immediacy. However, there's another situation where a little bit more time in terms of seconds, a little bit more time elapses, and only then she discovers on the checking, on her checking cloth, she notices that there's blood, not having checked immediately after their separation. That is the point in time in which there will be a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Akiva would have said that even there we suspect that the blood was there at the time of intimacy. The Rabbanan will say no, that's already too much time lapsed, and again we're dealing with a matter of seconds, but too much time has lapsed, and the blood that she sees now, since she didn't check immediately after their separation, we're going to say that the blood flow started now and wasn't present at the time of the intimacy. So in the, as we just saw in the Gemara, the idea of separation from wife with regard to this suspicion that maybe he had relations while she was Anita, that is true even according to the Rabbanan. Because in the Chad Acher situation, if she checks herself immediately after their separation and notices blood, we will say that he also becomes Tomei as a result of being Boel, a Nida. Boel is intimacy with the Nida. We take a look at the side of the Gemara, and we notice the Nosei, the topic heading, Zman Tfiloso Shaboel Nido B'yom O B'layla. We're talking now, we're continuing in the discussion concerning a man that has intimacy with a woman that turns out to be a Nida. He, if she is a Nida at the time of the intimacy, so he too becomes defiled, and he needs to immerse himself in a mikveh a week later. The question is, at what point of the day does he immerse himself in the mikveh? Now we know from Psukim in the Torah that a nida goes to mikveh the night following the seventh day of her purification period. Purification indicates a week that goes by since the nida flow began. And truth be told, in the case of nida, the nida midoraisa, nida from the Torah standpoint, there isn't the issue of observing clean days per se, but a period of a week goes by since the flow started, and then the night following the seventh day, she goes to mikveh. The question right now with regard to the man. At what point of the day does he immerse himself? Does he immerse himself at night, the night following the seventh day, or does he immerse himself during the daytime itself, the day of daytime hours of the seventh day? In the realm of Tumas and Taras, there are different time periods, times of day for, when we say time of day, we mean daytime or the night that follows, different points in time for different people to immerse themselves in the mikveh. When is the mikveh said to be effective? But we don't want to overload ourselves with different kinds of tumah right now. We're just going to focus on the nida. And we have our Mishnah in mind, where the Kohen Gadol is separated from his wife 7 days before Yom Kippur because of what we just described. Another major factor that we've learned in the past, and it's important to repeat it now, that the mikveh immersion in most cases is effective only if it's followed by what's called Harav Shemesh, sundown. So that if we make our calculations, we have to make sure that not only was the mikveh done, but there was a sundown that follows, sundown, the setting of the sun that follows that particular mikveh immersion. So that in the case that they say a mikveh immersion takes place at night, the sundown that follows is essentially the end of the following day. You have the nighttime, there was immersion, then there's sunrise, and there's the daytime hours, and then there's the following sundown that will clinch the deal, so to speak, that will complete the tahara for those people. If, however, the daytime is the time for immersion, so you could conceivably immerse in the mikveh a minute before sundown, come out of the mikveh, and there you have your sundown immediately after the immersion. That would be legitimate. So let's now, with all of that background in mind, we take a look, we continue in the Gemara with Rabbi Zeira. We've double underlined him. He argues with Rav Simi regarding the concluding, is the boil nida's time for immersion like the nida or not? Now, Rabbi Zeira opens with a point. It takes a number of lines to develop. Omar Rabbi Zeira, Shma Mino. We learn from here, from our Mishnah and the separation of the Kohen Gadol 7 days before Yom Kippur, that the boil nida eino kenida. The one who, the man that had intimacy with the nida is not treated like the nida. The tovel biyom, meaning unlike the nida, he will immerse during the day, so that he's separated for 7 days from his wife, as we said, and then the seventh day he immerses in the mikveh, and the sunset that follows is equal, is the represents the onset of Yom Kippur, and he's achieved the tara and able the next morning to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, this is illustrated, we have a chart that illustrates this. On the bottom of our marked daf, you can see there's a chart, and on the right hand side of the chart we're calling this tavla number 1. This is the first chart, and because you could see that it's divided into half, and then there's chart number 2, and you see Rabbi Zeira as sort of the name that's underlined. And the title of this chart is Zayin Yomim Koidim Yom Kippur Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mibeso. 7 days before Yom Kippur, we separate the Kohen Gadol from his wife. And you could see there are numbers going across the chart. And just the top line above the number line, the tavla 1 reads, there was an aleph and it says, Boyel Nido Eino Kenido V'tovil Biyom. So we're going to illustrate that with this chart, that the boil nida is not like a nida, and we say he immerses himself by day. So what happens then is, you see there's number 1. That's, we'll call that day number 1. Let us say during that day he had relations, and there's a dashed vertical line that at that point you notice it says poresh, means he separates from his wife on day number 1. So that will count as day number 1 in the 7 days that we are interested in having him separated from his wife. So we're saying basically even part of the day counts as day number 1, and you will then keep a count of the days 1, 2, 3 until you get to number 7. And by the way, at the bottom line of the chart you see letters Gimel, Dalet, Hey, etc. Those are the dates of Tishrei, and everyone knows that Yom Kippur is on the 10th Yud Tishrei. So day number 1 happens to be Gimel Tishrei. And if you keep count of 7 days, day 7, and we'll say he will immerse during the daytime, and the chart indicates that at the top line, Tovel Bayom, you might notice, he's Tovel, he immersed himself on the daytime of day 7, which is also the 9th of Tishrei. That's followed by Harav Shemesh, the setting of the sun, representing the onset of Yom Kippur itself. And he's saved. In other words, he's purified because he had the 7 days of Prisha. He immerses during the day, and then followed by sunset. That's it. He's purified. So upon the onset of Yom Kippur, he's okay. Rabbi Zeira goes on. We're going to come right back to this chart in a moment. Just let's read a couple more words of Gemara. Rabbi Zeira concluded that the boil nida is not like the nida. The nida immerses, she's required to immerse during the nighttime. The boil nida is unlike her, he immerses during the daytime hours, as we demonstrated. De e amris, we continue in our Gemara. De e amris boil nida kenida, if you will say that the boil nida is like the nida, emas tovil, then as a nida, when would he be tovil? When will he immerse himself? Balelo, during the nighttime. L'mochar hechi ovid avoda. The next day on Yom Kippur, if we keep our eye as we did on chart number 1, how will he be able to do avodah? Boy, hair of shemesh, Does he not require the sunset? Well, when's the sunset in that case? The sunset will be sundown at the end of Yom Kippur Day, but up till that point, he was not fully purified. How could he do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash? Elo lav, shma mino, boyol nido, eino, kenido. Therefore, we must conclude that the boyol nido, the man that had intimacy with the nido, isn't treated as the nido, and his immersion is during daytime. Her immersion would be at night. Now, let's see how that works. Going back to our chart, we have our chart, as we call it, tavla number one. And now we're going to look at the bays on the chart. There's a bays in the extreme right-hand side where we've written the E, Kanida, if the boil nida was like a nida, the tevel balaylo, and his immersion would be at night, ech oved bayom, how could he serve during the daytime of Yom Kippur? Hare chosur lo heref shemesh, he's missing heref shemesh. So let's see how would that work. So we again, the same scenario, but day number one, he was with his wife. Later that day, they separate. That counts as day number one. And you keep going across the same numbering, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That brings you to the 9th of Tishrei. But he's not going to be tovel during the daytime. We said, according to this analysis, if you were to say that tovel nida is like the nida, so when is he going to be tovel? The night following day 7. Now that's indicated on the chart. That nighttime happens to be after Yom Kippur already set in. When is his Heref Shemesh? It's his Heref Shemesh, we said the sunset must follow the immersion. That sunset is going to be after the completion of Yom Kippur day altogether. He was not Tohar then up till sunset. How could then he have served in the Beis HaMikdash? Therefore, the conclusion Rabbi Zera reaches is that the Boyol Nida is not like the Nida. And his immersion, in fact, is during daytime hours of day 7, and not like the Nida, which would be an immersion night following day 7. We turn back to the Gemara. Rav Simi Minar de Omar, Afilu Temo Boyol Nida Kenida. We can say, in fact, that the rules of immersion of the Boyol Nida are like the Nida, and his immersion is at night. However, the separation starts a bit earlier than that which we described when we were looking into Rebbe Zera. And very shortly we'll be looking at chart number 2, but first the Gemara. Rav Simi says the boil nida's immersion is going to be like the nida, namely at night. The mafrishinon le sho achas somuch lishkias hachamo. We start the separation and hence the counting. We separate them, technically speaking, a day earlier than we described, and the separation is right before sundown of that day before. We go back to our chart, tableau number 2, and now we're focusing on the date of Beis Tishrei. When we speak about 7 days of separation, we're going to be interested in counting the number of full days of separation. So let us look carefully at the chart. We have the separation starting on Beis Tishrei right before Shkia, right before sundown, represented by the line separating 1 and 2. There's a middle row with numbers that you'll notice in parentheses. That row is described as Minyan Yomim Shleimim, the number of complete days of separation. Well, the number of complete days of separation, your counting will start on Gimel Tishrei, because they were the physical separation where we told him you can no longer be with your wife. That started, truth be told, just the day before, but an hour before, a moment before sundown. So, as far as full days of separation, that will end, the 7 days of separation will end on Tes Tishrei. However, as far as the number 7, which leads up till the immersion, there have to be 7 days of his not being with her in order for him to be have an effective tefillah immersion. There you don't need 7 full days. There we can count day 1 from that moment before Shkia Sachamo. That's day 1. And you can see that's the top line of numbers. And notice day 7 of separation ends on the 8th of Tishrei. That's the end of 7 days. Then the night that follows, he is entitled to immerse himself, like a nidah. Then the next day, which is Tes Tishrei, which is Erev Yom Kippur, he will benefit from the sundown that follows that day, which is on the chart. It's the eighth day since he's been separated from her, but it's the end of the 7 full days of separation. So when we speak about 7 days of separation, that represents 7 full days. And when Yom Kippur comes, he's already had the immersion in the mikveh and the following sunset. That's Rav Simi Minardo's approach, as you can see on the right above the chart, who says Boyel Nido Kenido and it is Vitoivo Balaila. We turn back to the Gemara, and we notice now a series marking, a series of triangles. These triangles are, they will represent challenges to Rav Simi. Rav Simi said that the Boyel Nida is like the Nida, it's Toivel by night, at night time, these sources, and they will continue till the top of Omid Beis, where they will indicate that the Boyel Nida is Toivel by day, not like Rav Simi. So now the Gemara, Meisvei. We introduce a Tanaic source, as you can see, it's in a frame. Kol chai ve'tvilos tvilosan bayom. Nida violetis tvilosan balaila. The general list of chai ve'tvilos, people who are obligated to immerse themselves, their immersion takes place in a mikveh by day, during daytime hours. The nida and the woman who bore a child, yoledes, she too is enters a state of tuma. So the nida and the yoledes, their tvila takes place during nighttime. Nida in boyel nida lo. The inference is nida is at night, but not the man that had intimacy with her. And you can see we dashed underline nida and balayla to emphasize those words, enabling us to make this inference. That's a kasha. It's a problem for Rav Simi, who said that the boyel nida is like the nida. The Gemara rejects that question and answers, Nida v'choda osi mi ribuya. When the source says that a Nida is at night, it means a Nida and all those who come from her, meaning all Tuma that is affected, all those that became Tomei as a result of the Nida, specifically the Boyel Nida, who comes from a ribuy, that's a scriptural reference that expands Tumas Nida to include the Boyel Nida as well. Meisvei. We have a second question. Bal Keri Kemaga Sheretz. A Bal Keri is a man that experienced a semen emission, is viewed halachically as someone who touched a dead Sheretz. Dead Sheretz is one of 8 creatures that the Torah describes as stout-legged, short creatures, crawling kind of creatures that when they're dead they impose tumah. And it's a one-day type of tumah, boyel nida ketomei meis, and a boyel nida is compared to a tomei meis, someone who was defiled to the dead. Now, my lav litvila, this parallel between boyel nida to being like the tomei meis, with regard to what? Is it not with regard to tvila that they both are examples of people that immerse during the daytime? We know that a tomei meis observes 7 days of purification, and on the 7th day, daytime, he immerses in the mikveh in anticipation of the following sundown to achieve tahara. So the same thing with regard to the boyel nida, daytime immersion. Loi, the Gemara rejects that. Letumasan. This Tanaic source is a reference to the length of Tumah. Tumasan, the number of days that they are Tomei. The Gemara says, Tumasan, if the source is teaching me about Tumasan, I don't need a source for that. Behed yuksif behu, the verses in the Torah speak about that explicitly. Hai Tumas Shiva Ksiv Bei, Vahai Tumas Shiva Ksiv Bei. Both the Tomei Meis and the Boyel Nidah have psukim that mention a 7-day tumah period. So I don't need a Tanaic source to repeat that which is already explicit in the verses. Elolav, we continue at the top of Amud Beis, Elolav l'tevilasan. L'tevilasan means the time of day. The boyel nida is like a tomei meis regarding the time of day, namely daytime tefillah. Again, reinstating the question on Rav Simi. The Gemara says, Loi, that's not the parallel. Loi lo mutumasan. The parallel in the source is regarding length of Tumah, and it's true, you don't really need the source to tell me that regarding the Tomei Mace and the Boyal Nida. Seifa, it's the Richolei. I need the information in the continuation of that source, which isn't so explicit, and in the psukim, in the verses, so the sources need it, and what is the end of the source, of the Tanaic source, say? Elo shechomur mimenu Boyal Nida. A Boyal Nida has a stringency beyond the Tomei Mace. It's true, both of them are Tomei for 7 days. However, the Boyal Nida is more stringent in what he affects. Shemitama Mishkov Umoshov Bituma Kalu Latame Oichlenu Mashkin. A Boyal Nida, unlike a Tomei Mace, the Boyal Nida imposes an Avhatuma status. A primary level tumah status to Mishkov u'Moshev, to beds and chairs, with the power then to impose a Rishon l'tumah status on food and drink. In contrast to a Tomei Mace, he also is an Av HaTumah. However, if he has contact with Mishkov u'Moshev, if he leans or he sits on a bed or a chair, he makes the bed or chair into a Rishon Lutumah. And then the effect that they would have on food and drink would make them into a second level Tumah, lower potency level of Tumah. So just to repeat, the Boyal Nida imposes an Av HaTumah status to beds and chairs. And when we say avatuma status, that means the next thing that they come into contact will become a Rishon level of Tumah, but that's only with regard to food and drink. In the case of the Nida herself, she's even more stringent in this area, where the bed and chairs that she sits on would become an avatuma even to Metama people and vessels. Not so in the case of the Boyal Nida. We continue in the Gemara. Toshma, the Toni Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia has a Tanaic source, in which we'll see again a very big problem for Rav Simi's approach. Hazov, the Hazova, Hametzor, Hametzoras, Uboyal Nida, Vatomei Mace, whole list of different kinds of tumos over here, Tvilosan Bayom. And here we've dashed underlined the essential terms, Boyal Nida, Tvilosan Bayom. The Boyal Nida's Tevila time is daytime. Nida Violet is Tevilosan Balaila. In contrast to the Nida, who immerses at night. Tiyufta, this is a refutation of Rav Simi. So we have a Tanaic source repudiating the position taken by the Amora Rav Simi. The Gemara continues with a new line of questioning. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading. And we note that this topic lasts till Daf Ches Omid Av. So it's a rather long topic, page-wise. Tumas Hameis. Bekeshel Avodas Korbanos Tzibur. We're going to be talking about Tumas Meis and its effect on the service in the Beis HaMikdash regarding public sacrifices. The Gemara will introduce two opinions, Hutra Betzibor versus Dechuya Betzibor. And we'll spend more time on that when we get to it a few lines from now. So we now turn to the Gemara, at this point introducing Tumas Meis. V'ad sha'ato mafrisho mitumas beso, hafrisheu mitumas hameis. Up till now, we've expressed our concern over his experiencing Tumah as a result of his wife. But we separated it only from his wife. We didn't separate him from other people. In other words, he's relocated to the Tumah, to the Lishkas Parhedrin, as the Mishnah mentioned, that a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash, but he wasn't isolated from other people. Now, he's then going to be in the presence of other people over that week. He's not in solitary. Is it not so someone might just drop dead in his presence, making him Tomei Mace? So why don't we take that into consideration? He'd be under the same overhang, under the same roof as a corpse. So the Gemara is mentioning, raising that as a problem. And since we've already shown our concern with his being together with his wife and hence separating him from her, let's separate him from people in general. Omar Rav Tachlifa Avua Rav Huna Mishmei Deravas. Rav Tachlifa, quoting Rava, says, Zoyse Meres, from the fact that we don't take that into consideration, this must show us that even if it happened, it wouldn't be a problem. Tumas Hames Hutra Hi Betzibor. Hutra literally means it was permitted. It would mean it's suspended. That the rules of Tumas Meis are totally suspended, or can even say non-existent, with regard to matters of public sacrifice. And the Yom Kippur service was in its entirety a Korban Sibor, having a Korban Sibor status. Ravina Omar, Afilu Tema Tumas Sameis Dechuya Hibet Sibor. This is another approach. Dechuya, and we'll take a look at Rashi shortly, is a lesser degree of permission, of allowance. It's Tumas Hames Dechuya means we can make an allowance for a case of Tumas Meis when it comes to Avodas Tzibur, to public needs. But if you have an option to do something Betara, so then we will tell you, do it Betara and not overlook the fact that there's Tumas Meis. Not so in the case of Tuma Hutra Betzibur, where all of the laws are completely suspended, and that would mean even if you have an option of doing something Betara, but since it's a Tzibur matter, since it's a public sacrifice, we don't expect you to find an alternative Tahara option. Now, whether it's Rav and Ravina, why... What do we see? Or let's say, according to Ravina, where Tumas Hames is Dechuya Hibet Sibor, which we said meant that if you have an option of doing it Betara, so do it Betara. Find someone else to do something, to do the action of sacrificial offering in a state of purity. So why don't we, according to Ravina, why don't we separate him from everybody? That would be the option of doing it Betara, ensuring the Kohen Gadol being Tohar. So Ravina explains why we don't separate him, because Tumas Meis Lo Shchicha. It's not something common. It's unusual that people drop dead suddenly without any forewarning, and hence necessitating us to distance himself from everybody. It's simply unusual. And we don't take measures to prevent the unusual. Tumas Beis HaShchicha. However, the wife experiencing a blood flow is something that's much more common. And that's why in the case of the woman, we take preventive measures. Before we go further, it will be of benefit to look at the Rashi on these expressions, Hutra Betzibor versus Dechuya Betzibor. Rashi says, Hutra Betzibor Kedichtiv, as the Pasuk says, Ish. The Pasuk emphasizes the individual. So, Ish Nidche, V'ein Tzibor Nidchen. A private, an individual, is pushed away, but not a Tzibor. So when it comes to Tzibor-related matters, the laws of Tumas Meis are suspended. The laws of Tumas Meis are suspended, and the Ein Tzibor Nidchen v'Yom Kippurim Kulei Korban Tzibor. The entire service has the status of a public sacrifice. V'Av Korban Shelo Doicha Es HaTumas Rei Zmano Kavu VeKorbanu Tolui Bo. Even the Kohen Gadol's personal sacrifice, that's brought Yom Kippur, is going to overrule the Tuma problem, because it has a fixed time, and only he is the one that can bring it. The next Rashi, Dechuya Betzibor, Af Alpi Shehakorban Tzibor Doicha Oisa, even though the public sacrifice overrules the law of Tuma, Bekoshi Hutra, it's only with difficulty that we say that. Velo heter gomor hu, it's not total allowance, total suspension. The chomad motzin l'adurim madrinon shi'aseh b'taran. Every effort that we could make to do it in a state of tara, we would do thusly. So, that being the case, the question had arose, well then, why not separate him from the rest of people altogether, not just his wife? So the Gemara answered, it's an unusual situation that someone would drop dead right, you know, in his immediate vicinity under the same roof. We turn back to the Gemara, where this entire sugya becomes the focus of our attention. Putra versus Dechuya. Itmar, Tuma Sames, defilement to the dead, Rav Nachman, Omar Hutra Bitzibor. When it comes to a public sacrifice, so the concern of Tuma, of Tumas Meis, is completely suspended. Rav Sheshes Omar Dechuya Hi Bitzibor. Rav Sheshes says it's overruled, but not totally suspended. What's the manifestation? Well, we'll see a little bit more about this in the Gemara. We have markings here that feature two lishonos. There are two versions, and they're listed here as Aleph, and then an Ikod di Amri, second line from the bottom. The squiggle on the Ikod di Amri indicates the transition between the two the two versions. The second version. What we are going to present here are the circumstances under which Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes would agree, and under what circumstances they disagree. And you can see that immediately by noticing the dashed underlining in the Gemara. We have Kuli Alma Lo Pligi and Ki Pligi. So now the Gemara. Heichal de'iko tmeinu Torah bahu beis av. Beis av is the daily service group of Kohanim. Population of Kohanim were divided into 24 service groups. They were called Mishmoros. Each service group was assigned a week to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and they would do this twice a year. So the 24 service groups would account for 48 weeks. During the holidays, all the Mishmoros came together. But in general, you're dealing with an average week that a mishmor would serve, and the week was broken down into six botei av, which is a subdivision. Every base av is a subdivision of the mishmor. Mishmor was there for a week. Base av would be the family or the group of kohanim that would serve on a given day. So if you have within the day's service group, the base av, some kohanim that are tameim and some kohanim that are tahorim, then kuli alma lo pligi de tahorim avdi tameim lo avdi. Everyone will agree, meaning even Rav Nachman will agree that the tahorim should do the service of the even of the public sacrifice, and not the ones that are tamei. Ki pligi, the machlokis will arise la duri osu tahorim mi base av achrina. If you have a situation where that particular day's base av are all tameim, and I would have to seek out another base av who would be ordinarily serving on another day, but under the circumstances, I would then draw from them to offer the sacrifices, the public sacrifices, today on a day that's not their official day. So do I do that? Do I go out of my way to seek out people from another base av, another day's service? Rav Nachman Omar, Heter hi betzibur velo mahadrinan. Tumas Meis is totally suspended when it comes to public sacrifices, and you don't have to seek out members of another base av to substitute and come in and take their place. Rav Sheshes Omar, Dechuyo hi betzibur umahadrinan. Tumas Meis is not suspended, but it's overruled. However, since there's an option to do it betara by extenuating yourself through seeking out replacement people from another base av, do that. Iko diamri, another version. Afilu hecho di iko terim tamei bahu base av. Polig Rav Nachman. This is a more lenient version, as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, that even if you have in the same day's service group some that are Torah and some that are Tamei, Rav Nachman will argue his point, V'omer Avdi Nami Tameyin. The Tamei people can offer the public sacrifice, and we have the top line now of Zion Amud Aleph, the whole Tumas Meis B'tzibur Rachmona Sharia, that when it comes to public matters, public sacrifices, Tumas Meis is totally suspended. Rachmon Hashem means the Torah Hashem allows it. At this point in the Gemara, Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachmon will be arguing back and forth, presenting sources, each one in favor of their respective opinions, and what the other one says about the different sources. This will, Mirtz Hashem, be the subject of our next shiur. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.